Okay, Shabbat Shalom, and here we are for another Shabbat. I'm going to lower the volume here because it's always so loud. Why? I don't know. Okay, I'll put up the study, and then we'll proceed. Where is this? Here it is. There's the study. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Very good. Okay. That was our new trumpeter because my wife is, she's not here at the moment. She's on the internet. But we have a variety of trumpeters. That was pretty high. Well, Shabbat Shalom. We are one of Messiah congregation, Kahal Chabad Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. This is the fifth Sabbath of the seven Sabbaths we were told to count. So spiritually, if you think about it, we're going from slaves of Satan, you know, in our last lives of sin, to the people of God, the God of Israel. And that's what it's all about. And by faith, we receive everything. And that's what I thank God for faith. Shabbat Shalom. Let's ask the Lord to bless and anoint this Shabbat. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, wash us in your blood of any sin, any blemish, any spot, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from a holy living God. Bless and anoint this Sabbath, Lord and God. I pray you pour your Holy Spirit upon us. Be with us in a special way, Lord and God. Be right in the midst of us. I pray you'll send down healing upon my wife. Lord and God, you see exactly what's wrong with her. I pray you'll take care of it in the name of Yeshua. I pray you'll touch anyone else that's sick and afflicted in the body of Messiah. We pray for help. We pray for true, right decisions, righteous judgment in everything we do. Bless and anoint this study. Let it help everyone in their walk with you, Father. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. I thank God for the Word of God. And I pray, Lord and God, you'll show us where there's guests. We'll go get them, or they'll come here, or whichever way you have it, Father. Bless and anoint this day in Yeshua's name, and may God prosper you in everything you do in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Amen. You know, one thing I got to say, you know, even though there's just a few of us here, just by getting that call a week ago, a week and a half ago, you know, people do listen to us from around the world. So even though it seems like we're just a few here and, you know, there are people listening, and I can't wait to meet these people that want to move out here. They're going to move to Holinwall. I think they're in Maine, or I can't remember where they are. They're somewhere out east, northeast. But it's amazing how people are listening to us on the internet. So, you know, praise the Lord. I mean, that's what it's all about. Today's the 28th of May. May's just about over. That's another month. Flew by. But we're in the 21st day of Ziph. And that month's flying by too, and that's the second month of God called Ziph. And most people don't know about it because, you know, we're so used to calling it, you know, the month May, and then Judaism's calling it Iyar. And again, God has his own month, which is sort of not that popular, you know, it's just Ziph. And we could verify by reading it in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1, right? I just don't understand that. We have geniuses in the Jewish, you know, the Jews that are amazing physicists and neurosurgeons and all this kind of stuff, and they can't read 1 Kings 6:1 because they say IR. Try to figure that out. That's to show you this has nothing to do with intelligence. This has to do with a spiritual situation. And to miss Ziph, you're missing the brightness, the figuratively, the month of flowers. And I thank God that it's out here. It's turning into spring, you know, summer. It's getting pretty warm, and that's so. Anyway, happens every year, doesn't it?
Yeah.
My ministry, you guys are very familiar with it. It's teaching ministry. I like to bring up subjects and topics and maybe concepts that you're not familiar with. I like to undelete some things for you. My server, I'm always checking it. It's still running over there. You could read the studies. You could watch them. You could listen to them. You could upload them. I even look at them myself because I forget things and I think, wow, it's still there. I looked at some studies this morning and I was thinking, wow, I forgot all about that. Different subjects. We're on Pow Talk right now. I think we're streaming. I put the IP in. We should be streaming live. I hope you could see me. So if you could see me, there you are. We're on Real Player. There's the URL right there. I haven't received any invitations lately to go visit people.
Except that church.
But we do have some people that we've been in contact with. We'll see what happens with them. We're on our way, of course, as you know, to the Feast of Weeks. 50 days. Chag Shavuot, Chag HaKatzir. And that's going to be on Sunday, June 12th. So there'll be two Sabbaths in a row at that time, right? Well, there's my last four studies. Started out with the 7-week journey, you know. And then we went to Our Testimony, the Record of Our Short Lives, which is, I thought was an interesting study. And then I went to, they were told to tarry until, not just tarry, but you have to wait until God answers you. And then, of course, last week's study, to me, was very potent. Time and judgment. And judgment is a very serious kind of subject because sort of brings a lot of thoughts, judgment, you know. Today's study, we're going onward to the Feast of Weeks. Remember, we are counting Sabbaths, not Omers, right? Everybody knows that. Some people on the internet are still counting the Omer, trying to figure that out when the Bible says to count Sabbaths. So today's topic is, this morning when I was thinking about scriptural concepts, you know, I started thinking, it's all about faith. You know, really, everything is faith in the past and the present. And I'm sure whoever's after us, if time progresses, you know, it's all about faith. Everything we do is about faith. Just think, many people of the God of Israel in the scripture had Messiah in promise that he was to come. Remember that? There's a lot of people, you know, they knew about the messianic prophecies and they were praying that he would come. We have now by faith Messiah himself that was promised. So we didn't see him, but we believe by faith. You know, so it's even though they had the faith that he was coming, we have the faith that he came. There was actual people that actually saw him right in the middle and got a chance to witness him, but you know. So we believe by faith he came and by faith will return at the end of the world. And this is all by faith, only by scripture. Just think, many people, the God of Israel, in the scriptures, had many prophecies of Messiah needed to be fulfilled. And now we have Messiah that fulfilled all the prophecies of his first coming. And of course, the second coming is going to happen in someone's lifetime, you know. So everything's by faith, as you can see. They all live by faith. We all live by faith. It's just, that's what it's all about, really. I guess the only people that wasn't really by faith was the one that actually seen the Messiah. And they got to see his miracles, and they got to see him. That must have been a very unique, special time, you know, the more I think about it. They actually seen someone raise the dead, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, you know, multiply the fishes and the loaves. That was a special time, that little gap of time. And then it goes right back into faith. Isn't that interesting? So I wanted to read Hebrews 11 today because... Well, if you want faith, you read this chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. That's an interesting sentence. That's not something you could bring to a court because it's evidence you can't see. But by it, the elders obtained a good report. And that's what this is all about, the elders. And those are the testimonies we should focus on. And that's the elders in the Bible. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. It's all by faith. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, God made everything just by, but however he did it, he spoke it into existence. And I noticed, when I was reading this today, I noticed first we go with all the people in the Torah, you know. I never thought of it like this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. So Abel did offer a sacrifice. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. And then we go to Enoch, who's in the Torah. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, which is didn't happen to too many people except Elijah. And he wasn't found. Just think, his wife was probably looking for him in the night. Mrs. Enoch, wondering, what happened to my husband? But he wasn't found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. And that's all you have to do is please God. Isn't that simple? But this is really important. Without faith in everything you do and everything that you experience, it's impossible to please God. So if you have no faith, it's impossible. See, having faith and believing God, you're pleasing God. And if you want to be like Enoch, he pleased God. See that?
Yeah.
And he that comes to God must believe that he is. So you have to believe in this invisible God, and by faith, you could feel his spirit through his word. It says, and that he that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So if you diligently seek God, he'll reward you. Isn't that nice? And then we go to Brother Noah, which we talk about him many times through our ministry. He was warned of God of things not seen as yet. So Noah actually had to believe the flood was coming. Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting.
I mean, a place where it never rained?
Yeah.
That's a lot of faith that he's going to drown. Not only that, it's going to drown the world. Anyway, he moved with fear, not with love or reward. He moved with fear, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world. Building that ark, he condemned the world because that was showing that God is going to fulfill his word. And being heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith he did it. He says he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It's all about faith. And then we move to Abraham, who's in the Torah. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And then we go to Sarah. Herself received strength to conceive seed when she was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So whatever God promises you, it's sure going to happen. Even if it's against all odds, against, you know, whatever you think is the impossibility, it's still going to happen. If God wants you around, you're going to be here. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as many as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. So that takes care of this, just oodles and oodles of brothers and sisters that live by faith. That's quite a sentence there. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embrace them, and they confess that they were just strangers and pilgrims on this earth. This isn't our final home. You know, we have this promise of course, eternal life, and of course they had the promise of the coming of the Messiah, but we have the promise of the Messiah is here, and the promise of eternal life with God. Isn't that amazing? Something to really think about during the week. For they that say such things, we declare plainly that we seek a country. And if we were out of the spirit and we were mindful of the physical country from whence they came out, you know, they would have had opportunity to return, you know, if they were in the flesh. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared for us a city. And you know, God does everything perfect, so it's going to be quite a place. And then we go back to Abraham again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. He was going to go actually offer up his only son. That not his only son, that's what he's called, even though he had another son. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to even raise him from the dead. He knew if he offered a son up, God was still going to raise his son from the dead because he promised. that through his seed all the nations of the world would be blessed and the Messiah would come through there. Even from the dead, from whence he received him in a figure. And then we move to Isaac. He blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And then we go to Joseph. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and he gave commandment concerning his bones. He didn't want to stay in Egypt. And then we go to brother Moses. When he was born, he was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. For by faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, he could have lived it up and lived in luxury, but forget that. He didn't want to enjoy sin for a season. Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy pleasures of sin for a season. Because it's just for a season. He esteemed the reproach, you know, even though you don't like reproach, but the reproach of Messiah, he esteemed it greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And that's what we do. Our reward is the kingdom of heaven, and we have to have respect unto that and trust it, that it's really there by faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. And that's what we have to all do in our lives. No matter what comes or goes, we have to endure as seeing him who's invisible. He's there, just that you can't see him. He's right there. Praise the Lord. Through faith, just think, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, this is really by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. That's big time faith, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. And then we went through the whole Torah, and then we go to the book of Joshua. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, because she believed when she had received the spies with peace. So we went from the Torah to Abel to Joshua. Isn't that amazing? Abel's in the Torah. Now we're going to go through the rest of the scriptures, the judges, the Samuel, the kings, and the prophets. He says, what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon. These are all testimonies in the past that we should look at. And of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions, these people that roared at them, you know, these wicked rulers. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. That's important. So even though you might be weak, God can make you strong by faith. Wax valiant in fight, turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Women actually received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. That's what I was listening to this morning, some of the Gospels. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Everyone's going to have an incorruptible body. Others had trial of cruel mockings and of scourgings, and yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. It's just amazing, thinking about the people from the past. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in the mountains, in dens and in caves of the earth. It's drastic. It's pretty drastic. This is the extreme. But they had a good report through faith. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They still didn't get the promise of the Messiah and you know, the whole thing and everything. But they had that faith to go on and go on in their lives. Things may not happen in your life, you know. We have the promise of the second coming of the Messiah. This may not happen in our life, but we still go forward.
Right.
Because there's the kingdom of heaven. We have the promise of Messiah is going to return someday in someone's lifetime. But we don't know when, so we go forward. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They're still waiting. They were still waiting. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect or complete. In other words, simply put, they had the promise of the coming of the Messiah. We have Messiah that came, and therefore is complete or perfect or finished. In other words, what they were waiting for, we have, and now we're waiting for him to come back. So that little segment is done, because all the prophecy of the Messiah coming is complete. So now we're all, you know, it's a finished work kind of thing. Now we're waiting for Messiah to come back, which is totally different. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. So in other words, all the people that I just went over and the innumerable company of people we didn't even mention, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And I don't know what sin tries to creep on you. You got to watch out. You know, sin is very deceptive. Sin can come in many different ways, shapes and forms and situations and thoughts or anything. I mean, sin is sin. So we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, you know, tricks us without us knowing it. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. So that we're in a patient waiting game for the Messiah to come back, or for us to shed this flesh and be in an incorruptible body, which is something we should think about. And who we have to look unto Yeshua, who's the author and finisher of our faith. So he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And you got to consider him who, for the joy that was set before him, he endured actually the cross, you know, the being hung on that tree. Of course, he despised the shame. However, he is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Isn't that interesting? So we have to always consider Yeshua that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you might be weary and faint in your minds when you get a little persecuted. And just think about it. It's after reading this chapter, gosh, I don't think any of us here ever went through any of those things, thank God, at the moment. You know? You have not resisted unto blood, I bet, striving against sin, right? Right. At the moment, thank God. He tells these people, you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. So God talks to us like we're the children. He says, my son and daughter, don't despise the chastening of the Lord or faint when you're rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he corrects, and he scourges every son whom he receiveth. Now, if you endure chastening, and if you don't repent, I mean, if you don't rebel, then God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son or daughter is there whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof are all partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. In other words, you're not even a part of his family if you don't endure it. Furthermore, I'm sure every one of you've had fathers in the flesh that corrected you, didn't you? Didn't you have parents that sort of helped you and corrected you in your life? I did. And we gave them reverence. How shall much more we rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live spiritually? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. That's why God corrects us. Now, no chastening for the present. You might think you're getting away with it. You might think it's joyous, but it's grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, if you receive it, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby. So I was looking up that word chasten in the Hebrew, yasar, and it means to chasten, literally with blows, if you want to get physically, or figuratively with words. Hence to instruct, bind, chasten, chastise, correct, instruct, punish, reform, reprove, soar, teach. So that word is important. And then there's another word in the Hebrew, it's musar, which comes from yasar, means basically the same thing, properly chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning of instruction, restraint, you know, correction, rebuke, you know, it's discipline and doctrine. So we go back to Deuteronomy and it says, thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son or his daughter, we'll put, so Jehovah chasteneth you. Proverbs says, for whom Jehovah loves, he corrects, even as a father, the son or daughter in whom he delights. Job says, happy is the man or woman whom God corrected. Therefore despise thou not the chastening of the Almighty. Amen. David says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, Jehovah, and teachest him out of thy Torah. Now, if you don't repent and you're obstinate, you can actually read Leviticus 26. It says, if you not yet for all this hearken unto me, I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And if you will walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. So make sure you read the whole chapter of Leviticus 26 to understand the chastisement of Jehovah. So don't rebel against God's chastisement and correction. And, you know, whatever God deals out to you, because, you know, there is retribution, you have to go through it, like David. He had to go through it. David didn't rebel, and he had to still get his retribution while he was living with his son Absalom and everything else that took place, you know. And there's people, that's the way life is. But just think, you don't get 7 times more if you receive it. You know, you don't want 7 times more, right?
No.
I don't. Anyway, back to this letter to the Jewish believers, the Hebrews, okay? That's who the Hebrews are. They're the Jewish believers. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. That's important. Lest, I looked that up one day in a dictionary. It means in fear that sometimes. That which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. So we don't want to, yeah, we want to make sure we get a full reward, right? Follow peace with all people and holiness, which is important, without which no person shall see the Lord, if you're not holy in word, deed, action, thought, you know, and everything else. And we have to look diligently, lest any person fail of the grace of God. You could actually fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So the devil can try to cause bitterness in your heart, or for any situation, or for, I don't know, who knows. He can create a whole atmosphere in your mind where you can a delusion, and you start dreaming things that are not even happening. We've seen that happen. Lest, there's that word, lest, there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. So if you want to know why God didn't accept Esau, because he was a fornicator and he was profane. You know, remember he sought his repentance with tears very carefully, but he found no place of repentance because his heart was wicked, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Isn't that terrible? Because his heart, I believe after a certain point, God doesn't accept anymore. Now, we got to remember, we're not come unto the mount that might not be, we're not right at this moment, we're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest. Because imagine if we had to do that, like the people back then. and the sound of the trumpet and the voice of words, which the voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. They were so scared. God was spoke the commandments to them. Who knows what that sounded like? It must have sounded like eternity hitting them in the face. You know, whatever that means. We're not come unto that, you know, because we're really living by faith. They couldn't endure that which was commanded. Wow. We don't want that to be written in a book about us. We want to be able to endure whatever's commanded. And if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. So those people in the past, they had like this physical thing that they have to go through. Could you imagine that? I mean, I can't imagine wandering around in the wilderness and then meeting God on Mount Sinai, and then he speaks to you the commandments. You probably just faint, you know, just... Listen to this. And so terrible was the sight. It was terrible. And the word is noah in Hebrew. I mean, it's like awesome, like, you know, just frightening. That Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Exceedingly. Moses was frightened, and he was righteous. I mean, whew. But here's what we're come unto. We're come unto Mount Zion by faith and unto the city of the living God. Amen. The heavenly Jerusalem. We're not going to a physical one. We're going to a heavenly Jerusalem. And into an innumerable company of angels. Amen. And to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Amen. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men and women made perfect. Those are people in heaven. The spirits, they went back to God. Amen. And, of course, to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, the Brit Hadashah. He's the mediator. And to the blood of sprinkling. That speaks better things than that of Abel, even though Abel did a blood sacrifice right here. But... of course, that has nothing to do with it's Yeshua, you know, he's the new covenant, the blood of sprinkling, better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks. So when you read the Bible, especially, man, that's scary. Don't refuse him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away that him that speaks from heaven. Whose voice then that shook the earth. Could you imagine someone's voice that could shake the earth?
Only God.
Huh? Only God. That's right. But now he had promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now, I can't imagine somebody shaking the earth, but imagine shaking the universe.
That's even bigger.
That's... In the book of Isaiah, it says, therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth, shall remove out of her place, and in the wrath of Yehovah of hosts, in the day of his fierce anger. That's why I can never understand why people desire the day of the Lord. I mean, it's a day of darkness, gloominess. He's coming back to take vengeance on them that know not God. I don't know what people got this thing about. He's coming back with, everything's going to be so sweet and kind. It's going to be frightening. It's going to be frightening. In the book of Haggai, even at the first coming of Messiah, it says, thus saith Jehovah of hosts, yet once in a little while, or basically once more, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. This is where Messiah came and now would come, and now he came, you know, This word, and then we go back to what it's saying, and this word, yet once more, signify it. What that really means, the removing of those things which are shaken. It's almost like a sifting, you know? As of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's what God wants us to be. He wants us to be like the gold and the silver after you shift all the dirt out. And, you know, yeah. Praise the Lord. Tried by fire, right? Like we were talking last night.
Yeah.
Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. And that's important to have. We have a kingdom that it's going to be totally, that we can't even imagine, because no eye has seen it, no ear has heard. Can't even imagine what God has prepared for us, or those that love him and keep his commandments. and it's just a breath away. We'll be spirits at the moment, and then one day our spirit will go into this incorruptible body, and that's such a mystery. I don't understand, you know, it's just a great mystery. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptable with reverence and godly fear. You know why? It's still frightening. Our God is a consuming fire. So when you start thinking about who God really is, he's not this church God that do anything you want and get away with anything you do and say anything you want to say and whatever you think. Still going to meet the Lord, and there's still going to be judgment. You're going to be judged for every word that comes out of your lips and for everything you think. That's a scary thought. Makes you really want to think about what you're thinking and saying and what you're doing. Because remember last week I was saying that it's almost like someone behind you recording everything with a tape player that's an eternal one that's going to be played back. And you can't say, God, well, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. Wow. Oh, I didn't think that, or I didn't do that, or I didn't, who knows? Huh. Praise the Lord. There's no arguing with God. So this isn't a long study today, but I wanted to read this about faith, because even what we're doing, this 7-week journey, has to do with faith. So all I can say, you have to watch out for the physical and spiritual giants on the 7-week journey as we go to meet the God of Israel again spiritually. And what that means is, everything you read in the Torah has a spiritual understanding. So when I read about the giants, I've given some studies in the past about, you got to watch out for the spiritual giants that might try to get you. And are you ready for the giants in your life? You know, that's really important. And some things might feel like giants, you know, might feel like something gigantic coming against you. We read about physical giants in Scripture. Watch out for the spiritual giants that will come, and they will come. Because it says all that serve God and keep his commandments, persecution is around the corner. These giants may be false brothers and sisters, strangers. It might be your so-called friends, relatives. It could be situations that may arise in your life. It could be troubles at work. It could be troubles at school or financial matters. It could be sickness, you know, or jail. Just anything to discourage you from serving the God of Israel. So you have to watch. And you got to have faith through this whole thing. Don't let anyone or anything discourage you from serving the God of Israel. And I don't know why I had to put this in the study today. It must be for someone out there on the planet. Have faith in the God of Israel in everything you do. Don't let anything sway you. And of course, as I always say, the angry waves of life are going to beat upon you. But we're founded upon a rock, right? Remember the person that was founded upon he built his house upon the sand? And the rains descended and the floods came and it just blew the place away. We're founded upon a rock, so we have to have that faith. They had faith to tarry, and they received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. That's what they did in the book of Acts. Just think, they were just told to tarry in Jerusalem, and that the promise of the Holy Spirit was going to come. In Acts 1, it says, and being assembled together with them, they commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. And this is also written, I think, in the book of Luke, that Yeshua said, go wait there. So just think, that's just and then the very next chapter, this is past tense now, therefore being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, they received it. He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. Peter was talking. So again, by faith, everything is by faith. We move and we exist by faith, you know. We walk by faith, not by sight, the Bible says. I should have put that in the study. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. You have to walk by faith in everything you do. So remember, the feast is always on the first day of the week. Some people don't like the first day of the week for some reason. Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest. We're not counting Omers. And this Pentecost, that's what we're aiming for, by faith, again. And if you don't have the baptism, I believe the Holy Spirit's always present for you to get it. You don't have to, but this is a unique time. The Feast of Weeks, there it is, June. So how will you behaving? How are you behaving these 50 days, physically and spiritually? Don't let anything sway you or trick you or, I don't know, something. The devil tries to blindside you. You know, he tries to get you when maybe you're weak and you're not ready and you're not thinking about things. So be careful. Watch yourselves. There's only two Sabbaths left to count. Wasn't that fast already?
That's fast.
Yeah. I remember this saying, the seven-week study.
Seems like it was just last week.
Seems like, yeah, it's just when you got two left. So I hope you got something out of this study. You never know about these giants. That thing really came at me when I was doing the study. Because I know there's giants in your life that might try to really scare you, beat upon you, frighten you, try to get you off track.
Yeah.
You got to make sure you be like David against Goliath, right? You can't be scared. You have to, can't let anything sway you. That's what this is all about, having faith. So anyway, I'm sure some of these things have tried to attack certain people. I'm sure some of these things attacked me, right? And we're all the same. So be careful. And I might have left out a few things there that might try to get you. But spiritually, you never know what's going to happen. I mean, the devil might try to blow your car up or vehicle, or the devil might try to, I don't know, who knows, just to discourage you or bum you out or do something to you. But don't let anything sway you. Just keep going forward. And I thank God we could be here today, and that's what this study is all about, faith. Well, last week I did a long study. This week is a shorter study. So I hope you got something out of this study today. Faith is the most important. Yeah, faith is the most important thing. So I thank God you could be here. And for the few people that are left online, thank you for being here. And may God bless you and be with you. And may God encourage you and strengthen you and give you more. Increase our faith, Lord and God. Increase our fear, our wisdom, our understanding, everything. Lord and God, we want all the attributes of God. And may God be with you. And may God, I pray you'll convict these people that know they're supposed to come and visit us. I pray you'll trouble them. And I thank God for the blood of Yeshua. And I thank God, Lord and God, show us where there's brothers and sisters. We'll go get them. Lord and God, I just praise you and thank you for another Shabbat. In Yeshua's name, I pray you'll touch my wife and heal her. Give her more strength than she ever had before. Touch everyone that's sick and afflicted in the body and heal them. And I thank God that you're a God that we walk by faith, Father, and we trust you and believe you. In Yeshua's name, amen. God bless you, everyone. Shabbat shalom. Any questions or comments? I'm going to stop the video. Shabbat shalom out there. And I'm going to stop the audio. There it is.